we lift your name strong. Good morning. Good morning, church family. Go ahead and find your seats. So wonderful to be with you on this holiday weekend. Today, we are going to conclude our series on prayer, where we've looked in depth and parsed out the Lord's Prayer line by line. So we're going to go ahead and start, as we've done each Sunday, by reading it aloud together. So go ahead and put it on the screen. Some of you have this in your seat back in front of you, and I encourage you, take it with you today. One, stick it in your Bible. It'll be a great bookmark. It's a great guide for prayer. Also, it'll help us if you go ahead and clean out the seat backs for us so we don't have to do it later on in the week. So it's a double blessing. All right, you ready? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. All right, so we got the last line that we're going to focus on today. But because it's the last one, I want to just real quickly go through this. We need to understand that this prayer is for us to pray in word. It's also a structure for us to follow as we pray. And so we say, Our Father, and that tells us that we're in relationship. Hey, Dad, who's in heaven, who's higher than me, who understands all, who I have access to because I'm a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, Our Father, hallowed be your name. You are holy and all your ways are perfect. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This acknowledges that there is another kingdom, that there is a kingdom of darkness, and we have the authority as sons and daughters, as believers of Jesus Christ, to call forth heaven and establish it right here on earth. How exciting is that? Give us this day our daily bread. Provide for us, God. Provide for us. Be our provider. Help us to rely completely on you for all that we need for every day. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Jesus, thank you for taking our debts, our transgressions, our sins. Thank you for taking the burden of all of those things, for holding them, carrying them, and being crucified by them. Thank you for forgiving us of all that we've done and all that we will do that doesn't line up with who you are. And God, thank you that because of your great forgiveness for us, we now have a capacity to forgive and not be bound up by the ways that others have hurt us and offended us. And today, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I think this is something like this. Go ahead and play the video.
You can have grace access. You can't have right now, okay?
You gotta wait.
You gotta wait until mommy and daddy come back, okay? You can't eat these yet. You gotta wait until we come back. I'm gonna leave them right here. Don't touch them. Wait, okay? We're gonna come back. Don't eat them yet. Don't eat them. We'll be right back. You just gotta go get some. Just wait.
Something like that. All right, what does this mean? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, there's one glaring question that we've got to answer right off the bat. Does God tempt us? Does he tempt us? Well, we know from James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. There's your answer. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire. And enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin grows up, it becomes death. It gives birth to death. All right, so what's going on here? There's two things that I think I really want us to see. In the original language, this word tempt can also be translated as test. This word can also be translated as test. So from James 1, we know that God does not tempt us, but he sure does test us. He does. The enemy will tempt you for your destruction. The enemy will tempt you in hopes that you will take hold of that temptation, sin, and then when that thing grows up, you'll die. His goal for your life is to steal from you, to kill you, and destroy you. He's not a nice guy. But the Lord will test us for our refining. Throughout scripture, there's several passages where it talks about the refiner's fire. And as believers, us being refined as silver and as gold. Well, how do you refine, how do you purify silver and gold? You turn up the heat. You get a crucible, big iron-looking thing, put your gold in there. And then you put it in the fire. You turn up the heat. Has anybody ever experienced a test like this? Have you ever felt the fire before? You see, what happens is when the gold begins to melt down, all of the impurities rise to the surface and they can be scraped off. So God will test us for our refining, because God's goal for us is that we become holy, that we become pure, that we become like him, so that there is no hook in us that can grab hold of the enemy's temptations. So the enemy will tempt you. The Lord will only test you. There's also a difference here between being the one who provides the temptation, who sets the trap, that's the enemy, and the Lord who may lead us by temptation for this purpose of refining. Think about Jesus when he started his ministry, after he was baptized by John, it says that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for a season of testing, a season of temptation. He was led by the Spirit. Jesus also, as he's on his way to the cross to be crucified, he cries out to the Lord, "Let this cup pass from me." He's like, all of a sudden, this doesn't feel like such a good idea, God. And then he immediately says, no. For your purposes. Sometimes there are purposes. There is a plan in the testing that we have to go through. Jesus needed to go to the cross. There are tests that we need to go through for the Lord to be able to accomplish his purposes in your life and his purposes in the lives of those around you. I think, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. I think it can actually be summed up into one word, and that is help. 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 This is a good prayer, you know, to just stand before God and say, oh God, help. Help. I can't do it on my own. Help. I need you. Help. This prayer, I believe, is two things, and they tie really closely together. First is, it's an acknowledgement of our weakness. And the second, this prayer is an acknowledgement of God's strength. I'm weak, but he is so very strong. So we're gonna look at both of these things. First, we're gonna look at acknowledging my weakness. And of course, right out of the gate, I need to address with you, we are charismatic Christians. We really love focusing on the fact that we are more than conquerors, you know? We are, too. We're righteous. We're holy. We love the message of the finished work of the cross. And it's all good. This is just one of those tensions as believers that we have to live in. So, yes. Are we righteous or are we sinners? Yes. Yes. You're both right now in your seat. You are righteous and you're sinners. Paul, after his conversion, he would say, I'm the worst of all sinners. And he didn't say it in past tense. I was the worst. He said, I'm the worst of all sinners. But then later, as he's writing to the Romans, he says that we are made righteous. But what's the last part of that? Through our faith in Christ. You see, there's a lens that we have to look through. There's a lens that we have to see ourselves through. We have to see ourselves through the finished work of the cross. And sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm not acting and thinking and being the finished work of Christ's death on the cross. Sometimes I'm not. Romans 8:38 says that we are more than conquerors. What's the last part of that? Through him who loved us. See that lens? We're more than conquerors only because we have a foundation of Jesus Christ who loves us. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't you dare stop there. The last part of that, through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things only through Christ who strengthens me. Only through that lens of the finished work of Jesus on the cross. We have all sinned. And we all continually fall short of the glory of God. We've all blown it. We've all missed the mark. I don't think it's accidental that this line of the prayer comes after forgive us of our debts. Perhaps this line is saying forgive us of our debts. God, help me not to sin in the first place. Help me not to fall into the snare and the traps of the enemy in the first place. We're all capable of sin. I know we don't like talking about sin in here. You all are really, hang in there with me. You're here. Thank you. We're all capable of it. You know, it's really not hard. You want to know how it happens? Well, let's see. Husband and wife. Husband's not satisfied at work. Maybe just missed a promotion. His algorithm somehow knows it. He's scrolling along and it starts feeding him, right? And little by little, he watches a little longer. And before you know it, he's secretly addicted to porn. I'm not picking on you guys. This is just, it's so common. Secretly addicted, but what does it matter? Nobody knows, nobody sees. It's not affecting anybody else. Except for the fact that his wife feels this growing chasm between her and her husband. She can't explain it. She can't put her finger on it. Feels crazy, actually, because every time she brings it up, there's no explanation for it, and it just turns into a huge argument that never results in anything. But because of this addiction, he can't see her. He can't appreciate her. He can't value her. So she starts feeling a little lost. Lonely. But there's this guy at work, and they've just been assigned a project together, and he thinks she's really smart and she's funny, and he sees her, he appreciates her. Do you guys see how easy this is? It's easy. That way is easy. Or what if it's, let's say, I tell a little white lie, just to save face, just to make myself look a little bit better in a given situation. So I just tell a little white lie. It's no big deal. Doesn't really affect anybody except for the person that I told that little white lie to. Well, then they told this person. And so then this person comes and confronts me. Well, what do I do now? Well, I lie again. And I have to lie a little bigger because it needs to cover up the other lie. And so then it just begins this ballooning effect. I have to continue the lie, to continue to save face, to continue to cover myself until at some point that balloon pops and I've got a real mess on my hands. Or, you know, maybe that just wasn't so big, but lying is a little bit infectious. And so all of a sudden, it just feels a little easier to start lying over here and a little lying over there. Or maybe I'm just a little bit short on bills this month. and I'm a cashier, and we've had a really good sales day. So maybe I'll just slip a little bit. Just take a little bit. I'm going to pay it back. You understand, right? It's easy. This way is easy. But do you see how it traps us? First Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind." Here's the good news. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will, say it together, always provide a way out so that you can endure it. There's always a way out. There's always a way out so that you can endure it, so that you can stand up under the temptation. I think it's a real mistake for us to kind of just be wary. Be wary when you start to feel like, I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. I got it all together. Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 18. He told it to those who were confident in their own righteousness. Let's let that sink in for just a second. Confident of their own righteousness. And they looked down on everyone else. Jesus told them this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector, he stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that it's this man, rather than the other, who went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled. But those who humble themselves will be exalted." Temptation isn't always a bad thing. Here's what I mean by that. It's not always porn and drugs and greed. Sometimes our temptations actually come with a promotion. Sometimes our temptations come with a sudden and unexpected inheritance. Sometimes our temptations come because we've done something really, really wonderful. And so what this prayer is doing is it's asking us the question, are we willing to pray that God wouldn't give us more than we can stand up under? I appreciate the chuckle over there. Are you willing to pray, church? Are you willing to pray, don't give me more money than I can steward well? God, don't promote me beyond my humility. God, don't give me more authority than my experience of grace. God, don't give me more anointing than my character can handle. Are we willing to pray like this? Are we willing to say, God, I want to be pure before you. Don't give me more than I can handle, bad or good. All right, so what do we do What do we do with our weaknesses? Y'all are so quiet. Confession. We confess our weaknesses. Confession is the antidote to pride. Confession restores our humility. Confession is the acknowledgement that I'm the patient and that God is the doctor. Confession is the acknowledgement that I'm weak, but God is so very strong and I'm in desperate need of him. St. Augustine, who was a theologian, philosopher during the patristic period, and he really paved the way. He set the table, I think, for the Reformation to come. He wrote a book called Confessions. Don't read that yet. It's so good. It's going to ruin it. It's okay. He wrote a book called The Confessions, where half of it is confessing his weakness. And the other half is confessing God's grandeur. It's both. We have to do both in tandem. But he said, you can put the slide up again. He saw them standing before the cross. By the way, that's you. You are them. He saw you standing before the cross, having known them before the foundation of the world. It was to them, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They were killing the healer, but the doctor was making medicine for his murderers with his own blood. What wonderful mercy and glory. If you're ever, ever going to take a picture of a slide, this is it. So I want to take a moment right now. And I want to take a moment and I want us to pray silently in the privacy of your head and your heart. I want us to confess something to the Lord. When's the last time you've done that? So it could be that as I've been talking, I actually think for many of you it probably is, as I've been talking, there's something in you that's been stirring of like, this thing isn't okay. This is a misguided love. I'm giving too much attention to myself. I'm giving too much of my life away to this other thing that isn't God. That's what sin is, by the way. It's giving greater affection to things of the world than to God himself. And so I just go ahead, close your eyes. We're just going to pray together. I just want you to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry for. Fill in the blank. God, forgive me. Set me free of this thing. Wash me whiter than snow. Give me a dose of that blood medicine. Help me, God, to know your strength. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's done. That's God's strength. It's done. You are forgiven. That's his strength for you. So the second part, let's acknowledge God's strength together. Deliver us from evil. He is our deliverer. He is our savior. He is our champion. He is the Lord of our lives. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians that he would boast in his weaknesses because as he recognizes his own weaknesses, his own depravity, it's in that place that then he can experience God's greatness and God's strength. So as we recognize our weaknesses, just know that that's like tilling the ground for God's strength to be made known in and through your life. So how do we access God's strength? I'll go through this really quickly. How do we access God's strength? The first thing is you've just got to read God's word. You just have to read this, even if you don't understand it at first. The Holy Spirit will come and he will reveal this book to you. The Psalms say, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Every day, take a bite. Every day, chew on this. Every single day, get this thing in. Take hold of it. Earlier, I mentioned that Jesus was drawn into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tested by the enemy. How did he overcome that temptation? Scripture. Every last time. The enemy would tempt him. You know what's funny? One time the enemy tempted him with scripture because it wasn't working. And he's like, the enemy's like, I'm going to quote scripture to him, but it didn't work. And you know why? Because Jesus knew the author of the scripture. So if you know the author, if you read to know the author, then the enemy can't twist the words and feed you something that's not true. But Jesus overcame the enemy, the three temptations. He overcame it by quoting scripture back to the enemy. You've got to know this. You've got to consume this. You've got to get it in you. The second thing is pray. Fitting, since we're finishing up a series on prayer. When Jesus was in the garden with his disciples right before his crucifixion, he begged them, please, friends, stay awake and pray with me. Pray with me. And they fell asleep. He woke them up and he said, please, stay awake and pray so that you don't get tempted. Our prayer lives are not a badge on our whatever that thing's called. Shirt. Prayer isn't for God so as it's for me. Prayer strengthens me from the inside out. The Apostle Paul told the church at Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. Has anybody ever been intimidated by that? Here's the thing. I'm not going to let you off the hook. I don't think it's pie in the sky. I don't think he was just saying pray a lot. I'm going to return to St. Augustine. He interpreted pray without ceasing as desire without intermission. Desire without intermission. Henry Nouwen, who was a Catholic priest and also authored a ton of books, he also talked about this place of unceasing prayer. He talked about, you know how we have a monologue going on in our heads all the time? Only me? Okay. We have this like conversation in our heads going on all the time. Well, Henry Nouwen said, unceasing prayer is turning that monologue into a dialogue. So instead of just talking to myself all day long, what if I'm constantly saying, God, what do you think of this? God, what should I do here? God, where should I go? God, what do you want me to do here? God, help me. God, I need you. God, I love you. God. We've got to pray. Augustine said, to spend a long time in prayer is not, as some think, to the same thing as pray with a lot of speaking. I know a lot of you are breathing a sigh of relief right now. Like, whew. A lot of words isn't required. But what we must foster is a continual desire for God. Worship team, come on up. And the last thing, get in the Word, get in prayer, and get with God's people. We can't overlook that this passage is not all about me. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. We do this together. We do this together. We overcome temptation together. We see God's strength together. The worship team this morning, I was going to comment on it actually at the beginning of worship. As you all can notice, my voice is a little weak today. I think it's just, you know, time of year, allergies. And so I had this plan that I was just, you know, going to like soak it in worship and not sing. But I can't help it because it's like, in their gifting, they paid this price and made a way for me just to step into the presence of God this morning. I needed them this morning. Didn't you? Now they have excellent practice. Like, they are excellent at their gifting and they work hard to do that, but they do something in the spirit preparing as well. They pay a price for us every single Sunday because it's not just in practicing notes. They're practicing entering into the presence of God so that you and I get to just ride in with them. Right. Lead us. Let's do it together. We need God's people. I need your gifts. I need who you are. I need who you are for me to be who I am. I need you so that I don't fall into temptation. Would you go ahead and stand? We're doing a throwback song. It's confessional. I want you to... You have two choices. You can either sing it as a confession, or I just let them sing over you. And I want to challenge you. Will you ask God for that thing that you confessed earlier? God, what's my strategy not to go right back there? The minute that I walk out those doors, what's my strategy? Did you feel him prompting you to get in the Word more? Did you feel him prompting you to start praying with your spouse? Did you feel him prompting you to finally join a small group or maybe come up here and receive prayer from the ministry team for the first time. Ask him for a strategy. All right, let's sing. Ministry team, please come on up. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for teaching us how to pray. God, we thank you that we don't have to be the strong ones because you are. So God, will you help us? Help. Will you help us to lean in to your strength? Help us to take hold of it, God. And God, we ask, would you refine us? Would you make us more like you? We love you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I invite you to come forward to receive prayer. If not, you can go and have a great holiday weekend. Love you guys. We'll see you next week.